you get in your car and you either put a key in and turn it, or you push a button and it starts, hopefully, right? And as you look at the front of your dashboard, there are all these gauges. And all those gauges come on before your car starts, right? You've got all the red and the amber lights that come on, the icons. You have these gauges. And some of those gauges are important, more important than others. And as you drive, there's some certain things that you want to pay attention to, like if you are low on gas, you don't want to run out of gas, so the indicator will tell you that you're running out of gas. Another one would be, how fast are you going? So you don't get stopped and pulled over and get a ticket, right? So those are things that you look at on your dashboard, your gauges. And then there's those important ones like the temperature of the engine or the level of your oil. You don't necessarily watch those constantly, but if the temperature of your engine gets too hot, then you need to know that, right? This is important information. When I was 16, I attempted to go on a date with a girl in Milwaukee. And it was a banquet for my school, and she agreed to go with me, and I got a corsage, and I got all dressed up, and I asked my dad if I could use his car because I wanted to be nice. So he says, yes, but check the oil before you go. Well, I was busy, right? I was occupied. I was getting the corsage. I got dressed, and away I went. 20 minutes into this drive, I was heading up to Milwaukee to pick her up, to take her to the Sternwheel or whatever boat to have this really nice dinner, and I realize 20 minutes into it, the temperature gauge is just at the red mark, like barely getting into the red. And I freaked out because I was like, I started praying, Lord Jesus, help this not blow up on me. And as I'm, you know, like freaking out, it's in the red. And I go off the off ramp. And by the time I don't even get to the stop sign, it's smoking. Park the car. This is before cell phones. I walk underneath the bridge to the gas station, humbly call my dad, and say, Dad, I need you to come and pick me up. And I broke the car. And unfortunately, I cracked the block, the engine block. And all the fluids came out of the engine. And $500 was my part to pay it back and work it off. And I had to call the girl and say, I can't make it. I'm so sorry. It was a bummer. By the way, that was not Susan. That was a girl that I just didn't know very, very long, so. And it didn't last, obviously. So, yes. So, what's important is to know our gauges on our dashboard in our car. But what's more important is to know the gauges of our heart. What is going on in our heart? To be aware of those warnings, the dashboard of our soul. And what would that gauge look like for your heart? Maybe there's some red lights and there's some green lights. Red lights would be those evil desires in your soul that have tendency to lean away from God. And we should be aware of those red lights. You know, the amber light means, like, be aware. But the red light means danger. You need to do something about it. And so some of the examples maybe on your dashboard, I don't know, maybe there's a light for fear or pride or self-centeredness or lust or jealousy or lack of trust or bitterness. So these are warning signs of our heart that we might want to put on our dashboard. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about heart condition. And there are lots of heart conditions. There are many reasons why the heart's not working right. Physically, the physical heart, there's the hardening of the arteries. And how does that happen? Well, there's lots of cholesterol and plaque has built up. And there's scarring in the artery walls. Or there's a heart murmur where there's this abnormal flow pattern of blood that creates this faulty heart beat, or the valves are not working. And it doesn't prevent the blood from going the wrong way. And so there's a problem. Or there's congestive heart failure where in an inability of the heart to successfully pump the blood through the body due to weaknesses within its walls. And so we're going to look at the spiritual heart. And what does a spiritual heart look like when there's this hardening? When hardening occurs, what happens is we're presented with God's truth and we don't acknowledge that truth. And we don't accept it because there's a hardening of heart. Or a spiritual heart murmur would be when a believer is engaging in complaining or arguing or gossiping, or there's contention in their heart. Or maybe spiritual congestive heart failure can be like bitterness and pride and lust. And so we're going to look at Proverbs 4, the last part of Proverbs 4, 18 through 27. And right in the middle of 18 through 27 is the verse, Proverbs 4, 23. And I have it on the screen, right? Can we put that up there, Proverbs 4, 23? It should be there, but do we have anything? It should be the third one, right there. So, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Solomon was very adamant about this first part of this verse. Above all things, above anything else, guard your heart. Solomon had at one point asked for wisdom, and he had experienced everything in life. He experienced finance, like just wealth and experience, and he had seen everything and done everything, and he comes to this point and he says, above all else, guard your heart. This is very important in this passage. It emphasizes the importance of guarding it. And so there's a picture after each one of these. I want to show you just a picture of a warrior with a sword and a shield. And he's got the garb on. And he's ready for battle. And he's guarding something important. And guard your heart. So today I want to give you three reasons why and three reasons how. Three reasons why you should guard your heart. Number one, because your heart is extremely valuable. Your heart is extremely valuable. I put my trash out every Sunday night. 6 o'clock in the morning, The trash man comes, picks it up, takes it away. Why? Because it's grimy and grungy, and it's trash that is stuff that I don't want. I don't get my Chase Lounge out there and guard it at night. Why? Because it's not worthy. It's not valuable. But our heart is valuable. It is worth guarding. And Solomon says, above all else, guard it because it is valuable. Make it top priority. He doesn't say, if you get around to it, or he doesn't say, it would be nice if you guarded your heart. He says, above all else, guard it. It is valuable. The second thing is, the reason why we should guard our heart is because our heart is the source of everything we do and say. Out of our heart comes words. Out of our heart comes actions. And so King Solomon explains this. He says, this is a wellspring of life. And so in other words, it is the source of everything else in life. Your heart overflows into thoughts. It overflows into words. It overflows into actions. So think about a natural springs. It flows out from underneath the ground. It goes into a pool of water, makes a pool of water, and then it creates springs and rivers. And if that spring is plugged, it stops the flow of the water. And in this picture, there's one side, your left side, is polluted. It's a body of water that has trash and junk. And on the other side is a clean, they had cleaned it up. They had gotten rid of all the junk out of there. And so, if you think about water at the top of the mountain and it's poisoned, what happens is it flows downstream and makes everything else and everything else poisoned and threatens everything else below it downstream. In the same way with our heart. If our heart is not healthy, if it is not, if it is poisoned, if we are allowing it to have garbage in it, it can threaten everything else below, like our family, our friends, our career, our life, our legacy. And so Jesus talks about this in Luke 6. He talks about this tree that bears good fruit and this other tree that bears bad fruit. He says in verse 43, thank you. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth, excuse me, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So just a side note, our culture says follow your heart, but that's not what God's saying here. He's saying your heart can be evil or it can be righteous, depending on what you allow into it. And so number one, your heart is valuable. That's why you should guard your heart. Number two, your heart is the source of everything you do. And number three, why should you guard your heart? It's because there is an enemy. There is an enemy out there constantly at battle, attacking your heart, and wants you to go down. And when Solomon says, guard your heart, he is implying that you are living in a combat zone, one in which there are casualties. And many of us are oblivious to the reality of this war. We have an enemy who's bent on destruction. He wants to destroy everything that God is and that God has created. And so he is opposed to us that have a heart bent towards God. And so that's why Solomon is saying, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Your heart is the most important thing. It's not your experience, it's not your knowledge, it's not your skills, as much as important as your heart. And Michael Hyatt says this, I don't know if we have that up there, but he says, if your heart is unhealthy, it threatens everything else, family, friends, career, everything. This is why if you and I are going to succeed and survive as believers in Christ or as individuals, we must guard our heart. It's more important than we could ever imagine. And so if we lose our heart, we lose everything. If we lose our spiritual heart, we've lost everything. Guard it because it's valuable. It is the source of your being, and the enemy wants to destroy it. But how do we do that? So I told you three whys. What are the three hows? Well, I religiously lock my doors at my house. In fact, when I leave the house during the day, I lock my doors. And I realize, oh man, I locked the door. I got to get my keys. I lock my truck. Why? Because I don't want things stolen out of it. I don't want people to vandalize it. And so we guard those. We lock those things because we want to guard those things because they're valuable to us. Proverbs 4:18, starting in 18 and going till 27, but I'll start with the first two, 18 and 19. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like the deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So Solomon's describing the difference between righteousness, a path of righteousness, and the path of a wicked person. And the righteous is compared to the rising sun, shining brighter and brighter until the sun is shining on everything. I have a picture of shining sun and then darkness in the middle. And the pathway of darkness of the wicked is where they stumble and fall. I mean, think about when you wake up in the morning and it's still dark. What happens if you don't have a light? You stumble or you fall or you stub your toe, right? But when the sun comes up, it starts to illuminate and there's a silhouette of the mountains and the trees. And then you start to see colors. And you start to see more of a pathway, and you can see where you're going. And so the wicked are stumbling in the darkness. The righteous can see the pathway, and they can walk that pathway. And so our choices in life have consequences. If we walk in righteousness, we can get there. If we walk in darkness, we can't get there. A.W. Pink says this, and I think it's down a few more slides after the verses. He says, watch your heart for changes and trends. For the Christian to keep his heart means for him to pay close attention to the direction in which his affections are moving. To discover whether the things of the world are gaining a firmer and fuller hold on him, or whether they are increasingly losing their charm for him. Watch the direction in which things are moving in your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Meaning, guard your heart. Watch where it's going. Watch where it's leaning towards. And so The momentum of sin is like a stone rolling down a hill or a snowball. At first, it's not going very fast. But as it continues down the hill, the momentum gets so fast that you can't stop it. And so it's harder to stop. It's difficult. And so watch your heart. Keep your heart with vigilance. Watch for the first flicker of the red light on the dashboard, or amber light, more importantly. Verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. So I'll give you a preview. The three hows. They're three P's. Number one, pay attention to his words. Pay attention to his words. Number two, put away perversity. Put away perversity. And number three, proceed the straight path. Proceed the straight path. So, the next slide is Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker in the movie Rush Hour. And Chris Tucker is trying to explain to Jackie Chan in like loud words. He's like, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? God's saying that to us. He's saying, listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Pay attention, because they are wise and they are full of truth. They are truth. And so pay attention to his words. This verse encourages us to listen carefully to the wisdom and to the advice of those who have had more experience and knowledge than we have, to ask people who have godly wisdom, to ask God to lean into the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us as a counselor to guide and direct us. And then what are we supposed to do with that? Obey it. Obey his words. But to fill our hearts with his word. It says, pay attention to what I say. God has a lot to say in his word and how to live. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to do that. So the next one is, put away perversity. Proverbs 4:24 says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Now, when you think of the word perverse, you may think of one category. But perversity means a deliberate desire to behave in an unreasonable or unacceptable way. In other words, every single time that we walk away from the Lord, we are acting in perversity, rebellion. We are deliberately walking away. We are deliberately... And so what is Solomon telling us to do? Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Going back to the stream analogy, when you have these thoughts and feelings that originate from your heart, they ultimately determine your actions and behaviors. And so the water represents our thoughts and feelings, and the source of the stream is our heart, and the mouth is the point where the stream flows out into the world. And if the water is clean and pure at the source, it will flow out clear and uncontaminated from the mouth. But if the water is polluted or contaminated at the source, it will flow out what? Dirty and impure. Similarly, if we guard our hearts and we keep them pure, free from negative thoughts and feelings or actions and behavior, what will they reflect? Purity. But if we allow negative thoughts and feelings to take root in our hearts, they will inevitably flow out through our words and actions, contaminating our relationships and damaging our reputation and damaging our relationships, our lives. This is why it's so important to guard our hearts and keeping them pure so that our actions and our behaviors will reflect Christ. So I have shared this story, and it made an impact with me, and that was I had an old friend that I was hanging out with when I was in grade school, up all the way up into high school, and we skateboarded together, we hung out together. I went over to his house, he went over to my house, and he was a friend that was silly. He would do silly things. And what came out of my mouth was a word that I really didn't realize damaged his heart or damaged him. And that was the word stupid. I called him stupid all the time. And why did I call him stupid? Well, I didn't realize this until I had coffee with him about 5 or so years ago. And he told me how that hurt him, how damaging that was. And I didn't realize that what I was trying to say was, you're just a silly guy. You're funny. I really like how you just make me laugh. But I was using the word stupid. And I realized what was coming out of my mouth was not pure. It was coming out of my heart. And there's lots of things that we've done as humans to hurt others. So when things come out of our mouths, we need to check the source. Check the source. Is the source clean and pure? Is it coming out of a heart that is dark and needs Jesus to cleanse it? And so how do we do this? How do we guard our hearts? Number one, we need to pay attention to His words. Pay attention to God's words. Pay attention to what He says in Scripture. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Pay attention to the truth. Number two, put away perversity. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the third how is we need to proceed the straight path. Proceed the straight path. I think I have a picture of a straight path. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, to be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. When I went hiking with my family when I was a teenager, we were at Bryce Canyon. I don't like heights. But we were at this canyon and we were walking on a narrow path. And on one side was a 100-foot cliff. And on the other side was a 50-foot sliding cliff. And what did I do? Did I look to the left? No. Did I look to the right? No way. I looked straight ahead at my dad and my brothers, and I looked at the horizon to where we were going to the next place, and I just kept my eyes straight. And that's what Solomon is saying. Don't get distracted by the left and the right. Don't get distracted by things that make you stumble. Do not look to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Look straight ahead. Keep the path. There are two runners in 1919. One of them was Harold Abraham. He entered University of Cambridge, where he experienced anti-Semitism from the staff, but he continued to join the running clubs, and he became the first person to ever complete the Trinity Great Court Run. He ran around the courtyard in the college, and he ran around against the clock, so that by the time the clock struck 12, he would achieve an undefeated string of victories. And then he ran in various running competitions. And then his friend, or his the person that ran with him, or against him, actually at times, but ran with him in the Olympics, was Eric Liddell. Born in China to Scottish missionaries, and as he was in Scotland, he was wanting to run, and his sister Jenny disapproved of his running, and Liddell sees running as a way of glorifying God. Before returning to China, he wanted to run, and so he said when he ran, he glorified God. So Liddell and Abraham race each other, and Liddell beats Abraham's took it poorly. But a professional trainer had approached and offered to take Eric to improve his technique. And when he accidentally missed church, a prayer meeting, because he was running, his sister Jenny rebuked him and accused him of no longer caring for God. But Eric tells her that though he intends to return eventually to China mission, he feels divinely inspired when running, and not to run would be to dishonor God. And so after years of training and racing, these two athletes accept the representation of Great Britain to run in the Olympics in Paris in 1924. And so they get on a boat and they go to France for the Olympics, and Eric Liddell discovers the heat of the 100-meter race will be on Sunday. And so he declines. He says, I'm not going to run on Sunday. And Prince of Wales and the British Olympic Committee tried to talk him into it, and he said no. And so they finally found a solution, because one of the runners, the teammate Lindsay, having already won a silver medal of the 400 meters hurdle, offers to give his place to the 400 meter race on the following Thursday to Eric Liddell, who gratefully accepts. And so on that Sunday, before that Thursday, he's preaching at a Church of Scotland and quotes Isaiah 40. And so they run their races. Liddell's race, the American coach remarks to the runners that Liddell has little chance of doing well in his now far longer 400-meter race. But one of the American runners, Jackson Schultz, hands Liddell a note of support that quotes 1 Samuel 2:30, and it says this: Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, those who honor me I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. Liddell defeats the American favorites and wins the gold medal. And the Britain team returns home triumphant. I'll show you a little clip of this preview from Chariots of Fire. Let's watch.
We are here today to honor
He glorified the Lord in his running, and the Lord honored him, and he won the gold medal. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart." So, guard your hearts. And how you do that is pay attention to what his word says. Put off perversity and run the race. Proceed straight ahead. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the how it is true, how it impacts our life. And Lord, we pray for you to fill us up in our hearts with your truth, with your love, with your righteousness. Lord, we just pray that you would make our hearts pure, and that the outpouring, the outflow of that would be incredibly glorifying to you. That in our interactions with one another, in our behaviors, in our lifestyle, may it all come out of a pure heart of righteousness because of you. And may we give you glory. In Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen.